Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello, and welcome to Blizzard Watch, the podcast where we watch Blizzard Entertainment and its many games. I'm your host, Matt Rossi, and with me this week is my fantastic co-host, Ann Stickney. Ann, do you have little bones called Fabella in your knees?
I think so. I don't know.
You shouldn't. Humans stopped having Fabella about before we were even human.
Oh,
Our distant
okay.
But here's the cool part. They're coming back.
They're coming back in style?
Lost the Fabella millions of years ago. Like, it's in monkeys, but the great apes lost them before they even became us.
Yeah.
But humans are getting them back, and no one knows why. Like, right now, the last time they did a check back in, like, the 70s, 11% of humans had them. Now it's up to 39%.
So maybe I do have them.
Maybe you do, but here's the thing. No one knows why we're getting them back. No one knows why people are getting them, why they're suddenly growing again inside
human
bodies.
These are super important for some reason.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a mutation, and no one knows what it is or why it's there or why it's spreading.
Now I'm kind of interested in knowing if I do have them or not, but I mean, I don't typically go look at the inside of my knees or anything. So.
I've managed to completely sabotage the opening of this podcast, which is not about knees.
What have you been up to?
Yeah. You first. You go.
I finally finished Final Fantasy VI over the holiday weekend.
How'd it go? How'd it end? Did the world get saved?
Well, you know, like, I was getting my characters all kitted out in, like, the best stuff just to kind of dig around and do that. And by the time I got done with that and went and did the end boss stuff, I bulldozed through everything so hard. I didn't die once.
That is the weird thing about that kind of game, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. There's no scaling or anything. So you can go from... You start out at level 1, obviously, and you can go all the way up to 99. I was not at 99. I think I was at, like, 68 to 70 with all of my characters. And that was enough. Also because I taught every single last one of them Ultima, which is one of the biggest damage spells in the game. Yeah, we just kind of obliterated everything, which was great, you know, and it had the same nice ending that I remember, and I was very happy with it and thought it was great. I haven't picked up anything else yet. I need to go back to BioShock Infinite and finish that, and I think I might stream that at some point this week, because that sounds like fun. Also, I ordered a drone.
Yeah, I saw that. You bought, like, a cheap drone?
Yeah. We were cleaning this weekend, and I found an old Best Buy gift card that I had never used, because I go to Best Buy, like, once in a blue moon, right? And I thought to myself, I should use this because it might expire, and I don't want it to do that. And I was like, well, what do I want at Best Buy? I don't know. And I went to their webpage, and they had drones. And I was like, oh... Yeah, that might be kind of fun. I don't know. maybe I should play with one and see if I like it or not. So they had one that was like an $80 one that was marked down to $40. It was like half off because it was clearance. And with the card, I only ended up paying $5 for it. So I'm like, okay, we'll play with the flying pet robot and see if I like it. The thing is if I do like it, then I could get a better one. My whole thought was it would be really cool to do some flybys of the scenery around here because it's pretty wild. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I understand.
Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see if the flying pet robot is a fail or something I actually like doing. So that's what I've been up to.
Camera?
Huh? Yeah, it does. It has a camera, but the camera is a really crappy camera.
Yeah, I was just
like,
wondering if it's
480p or something like that. It's not a fancy camera by any stretch of the imagination. But again, you know,
it's still cool to get pictures and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, if I like it and if I like flying it, then I can go ahead and like save up to get a bigger one so I can do flying outdoors. This one's just going to fly indoors because it's very small. I think it's very small. I don't know. It hasn't gotten here yet. It's supposed to get here today. I was expecting it like next Monday, but okay, whatever. So
if Anne steps away, it's because the drone has arrived.
The drone is here. No, they'll just leave it by the door. It's fine. Anyway, so hopefully maybe next week I'll have drone adventures to tell you about. But yeah, until then, haven't really done much of anything else. Ducked into WoW to do the egg collecting thing. Haven't finished that yet. I'm not sure. I don't know if I'm even going to get enough eggs to get anything before the event is over. Is the event over already? I can't remember.
No,
anyway.
It started like the day after Easter, I believe. And so it's going.
Oh, so like Monday? Okay.
It ends on the 29th, if I'm not incorrect.
Oh, next Monday. Okay, so I've got time. I just wanted to get the Hearthstone because I think the Hearthstone looks really cool. Have you seen it?
Yes, it is the best Hearthstone they've ever done for one of these.
It's just
better than the last one, which is the wintery one. No, this one's better.
No, yeah, I like the whole, princess, Disney princess aspect. It's like all of the wild animals are fluttering around you. And I'm like,
well,
yeah.
I think it was Joe who said something along the lines of it reminded him of Magical Girl Transformation.
Yes.
And quite frankly, he would want a Magical Girl Transformation in every single one of his characters. Yes, even the Doran.
Yes.
And I kind of agree.
Yeah.
For me, what I've been doing, I've done almost nothing in WoW lately, not because I'm quitting it or anything like that, just because time and doing stuff. But I've been playing two games, one of which I talked a lot on the pre-show, so I'm not going to talk about it anymore. And the other being Pathfinder Kingmaker, which is addictive.
Is it?
Oh my god. Oh my god.
I've heard good things about it.
It's got its problems. Like, from what I understand, it was real buggy when it came out. And I can still, some of the bugs are still there. And it's one of those games that doesn't tell you anything. Like, it's like, gives you a quest. We have to go to this place, but doesn't tell you where that place is, really. You just have to, like, look around on the map and figure it out. So at first I thought I was going to hate it because it's really not a game that holds your hand at all. But I've got like 60 hours into this thing now. Been playing it at night and it's just like, it is such a classic old school BioWare / it's like that kind of game. Like the way they used to be when Baldur's Gate and Baldur's Gate 2 were big. It's like someone decided to just make the biggest version of that ever. And then it's got like a Sims component to it. Like you're building a country. Yeah. It's like Civ or Sims or something. Like you're building this whole country up and you have to like claim zones and you have to go out into a place and adventure there. And then when you're done adventuring there and everyone likes you, you come back and they're like, yeah, you can become like Baron of this place now. So you take over that place and add it to your country. And it gets to a pivotal moment in the game where you fight off an invasion of bad guys and everyone's there is like, you know, you should be queen or king. I've been playing as a female character. It's like, you should be queen of the whole place. And you're like, okay, I guess. And next thing you know, you're crowned and now you have to run the whole place as a kingdom. And there's like political intrigue and making towns bigger and deciding what's in the towns. And it's just like, I'm like sitting there going, I'm never getting out of this game. Like my poor Culturan
so
is
like
stuck at 82.
Yeah. I was going to say, it sounds kind of like a cross between an RPG and a sim game.
It's like if all that stuff in the Garrison that I kind of liked without any of the stuff in the garrison that I didn't like. And it's just addictive as heck. I have been playing it a lot. So yeah, there's that. And I did play a bunch of Diablo because I'm getting ready for the next season. So I'm like, you know, relearning how to play.
When does that one kick in?
Fairly soon now, because they just put out the PTR. I forget exactly when. I should know this.
Before the end of the month.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, they've got like a week left for that.
Well, the PTR, I don't think it's the end of this month. I think it's next month, but it's on the PTR right now being tested. I think they just brought the PTR down because of some issues, but it's a 1 week PTR. So when that's over, I think it could be any time up until like, you know, early May.
So but it might be. Yeah, because next week is the last day of April is next Tuesday. So it'd have to be like the first part of May if they're going to do it for a week or whatever, I think.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to look it up.
That's okay. You don't have to look it up. It's fine. I was just curious because I know that the plans have been in the works for that one for a while now. So anyway.
Yeah, but they've been doing that. So I've been playing it regular, and I actually did go on the PTR. And oh my God, some of the stuff in the PTR is nuts.
In Diablo
some
of the damage or in boosts, WoW?
Yeah. In Diablo. I haven't done that much WoW PTR because it's just stuff has been on the way. But I did go on the Diablo one really fast, but then they took it down, so I haven't.
I gotta go check out the WoW PTR, and I may do that later today or tomorrow. Yeah. Because I want to check out all of the stuff that's going
There's
on.
There's some story stuff. I did, actually, I was kind of lying because I had forgotten it. I did get to go on the PTR just long enough to see some stuff about the big green guy who's coming back.
Oh, so okay.
I do know
All
some
right.
stuff about that.
So. We won't talk anymore about that. But yeah, I need to log on the PTR and go play with that.
But yeah, we should start doing those top stories that we then do there on this show. I've had caffeine for the first time in like almost 2 years today.
Wow.
So if I'm going a little fast, that's probably why. Sorry, we were out of soda and that's the only thing I could get. So I was like, I'll drink it.
I'm sitting here with like this gigantic coffee in front of me because that's what I drink all day.
Yeah. If you don't have caffeine for a long time, you really feel it. Whereas if you have been drinking it continuously for like years,
it does
you
nothing to me anymore. It does nothing to me anymore.
It does something because I can go without it.
Yeah, I was gonna say if I stopped drinking it, I would definitely like immediately notice that I didn't have any caffeine. I tried to drop caffeine at one point, and it was not a pleasant experience, and it's not one that I care to repeat. I didn't have a headache or anything. I just felt like a slug. And I'm like,
yeah,
nope, need my coffee. Thanks. So, yeah.
We should talk about then their top stories. First one that I think we're going to mention is one that's kind of big and just dropped today.
Yeah.
Overwatch has got a workshop mode now where you can basically design your own maps and you can change a whole lot of sliders. You could do a lot of stuff in those. You've actually gotten a chance to look at the article. I was reading it briefly too. What did you find most amazing about this thing? Because I'm looking forward to it.
I love the fact that you can, okay, so with Workshop you can do a bunch of stuff. You can customize the heroes and things like that, but you can also customize the maps. It's basically a script editor for all of the variables that are in Overwatch, and you can change how the heroes work or you can change how the maps function. So there's like one mode that kind of activates the floor is lava, where if your hero hits the floor, they'll light on fire. There's also a preset there that'll add one of those, what do they call it? In Fortnite, I think they call it the storm, and then in PUBG, it's just like this wall.
The Battle Royale thing?
Yeah, the Battle Royale thing. It's like an enclosing.
The shrinking
Yeah,
arena.
It's like a shrinking dome over the map that shrinks as time goes on. So, like, for Battle Royales and things like that, if you hit the wall, you're just dead. It just zaps you. Sort of like one of those light things that you put outside.
The bug zapper.
The zapped bugs. Yeah, kind of like that, except it's a gigantic one that closes in around you. So yeah, if you've played Fortnite or if you've played PUBG, it's similar to that. That's something that you can activate. I'm not sure exactly. I mean, I think you can take everything through into custom games and you can play them with friends or just with random strangers or that kind of thing. And you can also...
Yeah, they said that, yeah.
Yeah, and you can also share the scripts if you make scripts, and it's interesting, because the thing is like, they've had a little bit of customization as far as the game goes, where you could build your own custom games or whatever, and you could do ones where it was like, oh, there's no limits on everything, or everybody has their alt all of the time, or that kind of thing. This is a lot more in depth than that, and I think it's kind of cool.
One of the things I saw someone talking about was our friend Orkchop, if you remember him.
Yes.
He was talking about how if you wanted to, you could sit down and make Titan inside Overwatch now.
Yeah.
You could make an RPG, because you can make the characters, you can have the characters gain abilities, get levels, you could do all that now. The potential for it is there. And that just blew my mind.
Yeah.
Like, because I talked on the pre-show about Neverwinter Nights, how I used to love making stuff in Neverwinter Nights.
Yeah.
And that's what this is.
Kinda.
This is the Neverwinter Nights ability to edit and create your own stuff in Overwatch. You can use it to just make a map and like let your friends go, but you could totally do like a, I'm trying to think of the right word for it. Like they just released the Storm Rising.
Yeah, the little Storm event Rising thing.
They've been doing that for the past few years. You could make your own like that now. You could make your own events just like those. You could change characters around so that like Moira has like the same abilities as Mercy. You could do anything you like. All the potential is so big here that I just kind of blew my mind that they just announced it like it was nothing.
It's pretty rad, and this just came out, you guys. I didn't see the announcement because I was out of the house, but when I came back, I saw Tyler playing with it on the stream right before the podcast. He's going to jump on and do more with that after the podcast is over. I think he had every intention of doing so, which is good because it's pretty cool. I'm really excited about this. I mean, they mentioned it. They mentioned that it was something they were working on a while back, and then we didn't hear anything else about it. So yeah, I'm really excited about this. I think it's really cool.
Yeah, this is something, I'm just going to say it. This is something I would love them to bring to WoW as well and to Diablo. I don't think we'll get it in Diablo. Maybe Diablo 4 will have something like it.
I don't think we'll get it in WoW either, because the first thing that I would do is like, cool, I'm going to make player housing.
Yeah. But that's the thing. You could finally make all that stuff people want that they don't want to do, you know?
This is why I'm so gung-ho about the idea of player housing in WoW, because it's basically giving players a set of Legos, only the Legos are game elements, and telling them, okay, go nuts. And who does not like Legos? I mean, I don't like stepping on Legos, but I do like building with Legos, you know? Love building with Legos.
Legos, the bringers of joy, but also just foot-seeking missiles that will destroy you.
Every time my nephews come over, they pull out the big bucket of Legos that we have, and they invariably miss like two or three of them when they're picking them up and putting them away.
You know the square ones?
Yes, that's the ones that I usually miss, and I find them with my feet.
Yeah, every time. Every time I've stepped on a Lego in my life, it's been the square one. Right. Yeah, that's amazing. So that needed to get talked about. I'm really looking forward to seeing what people do with that. If someone does actually sit down and do all the work to make an actual like RPG inside Overwatch.
If you can do that, I would be super interested in doing that.
I think the potential is there.
I need to look at it and see what it is, but I'm like, could I do that? If I could do that, I would totally dive into that, because why not? This is a really cool game world. It'd be like building your own fanfic.
not to sound nuts, because this is kind of a crazy statement, but entire new games have been built out of tools like this.
Yes. Look at Dota.
The very fact that we have League of Legends right now is because someone took Warcraft 3 and used the tools that were available at the time to make a new mode.
They made
the original
Dota.
Defense of the Ancients.
Yeah, they made Dota, and then League came afterwards because everybody loved the heck out of Dota. And Heroes was because Dota was a thing, you know.
I would love to see somebody, if there was enough interest and enough work on it, someone could make the Overwatch RPG we've always wanted them to make. And, you know, who knows?
It depends on the tools. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet, but I kind of want to, like, poke around with it and see what's there and what you can do with it. But, yeah, I'm really excited. If you want to play this, for yourself if you want to check it out. It is on the PTR right now. So all you have to do is hop on the PTR and you can play your heart out. There's a lot of people already there doing the same thing. Even if you don't want to play with the script creator or anything like that, there's a lot of people that have custom games where they're playing with those features so you can go see what's what.
Yeah, you want to see what it's like if you can't touch the floor? Go for it.
Go for it. Somebody in there has the floor is lava, and somebody in there has the whole the firewall. I think that's what they call it in the game. I'm not sure. But the whole the PUBG, Fortnite, storm circle thing closing in. People have activated that and put it in custom game modes just to test it. So yeah, hop on. It's worth checking out. I'm looking forward to seeing what Tyler does with it later. So.
But in addition to that, since we've mentioned Heroes just now, Anduin Wren has been announced for Heroes of the Storm, which I didn't see coming.
I know, right? Well, it was one of the ones that people had that had been hinted at and people were kind of expecting. I think it was the last or the second to last one on the long list of upcoming heroes that people were expecting to see. So I wasn't surprised necessarily, but I was kind of a little, huh, okay, you can put Anduin in Heroes. The thing is you know when Varian came into Heroes? He had that whole introduction thing where it was like he died in WoW, but he came back in Heroes. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, I have other things, other important battles that I have to fight that aren't necessarily on Azeroth or whatever, right? He went to this strange new world in the Nexus. I don't know how they're going to make Anduin show up. I'm also kind of looking forward to seeing what the dialogue is between Anduin and Varian.
Hey, like, that's my sword.
Anduin, Varian, and then Uther?
This just means they have to put Anduin Lothar in. That's what it means.
But I know.
I'm excited for one reason only.
What's that?
Anduin, when he does a taunt, summons the symbol of the Forsaken and then cuts it in half with his sword. And I mean,
Sylvanas
I want to put that on loop.
In the games.
Yeah, I want to put this on loop and just like strap Mitch to a chair and just play it. Like that's all he gets to see for the rest
You're
of
so
his life.
Mean.
I know I am. I don't actually want to strap him to a chair, but I do. When he posted the Twitter,
does
he
does
want
to throw him in
Anduin.
A pool, though.
Yeah, that's true. He did.
Yeah.
When he posted the Twitter that he was never going to play Anduin again, I almost wanted to respond. Anduin is now my favorite character ever. The thing is I honestly, I've gone from guy who couldn't stand Anduin because my god, did I have to run around after him a lot in Pandaria. Wow, I used to like him when he was just a little tiny tyke, and I was go in and he'd be like, hey, you here to serve the Alliance? And be like, well, you like kid, you're five.
No, he was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, I know.
But
you know
still,
what I mean.
He had the little kid model.
And they've since, you know, grown him up in front of us. And I've gone from, oh, God, you're the most annoying escort quest ever, to, my God, why did you hit that bell? Your father's going to kill me. To, you know, then he became king in his own right. And you get to see that whole quest. He's a character I've seen grow up.
Yeah,
so
that's the thing that I
appreciate.
That's the thing that I appreciate about Anduin is that we've watched him grow up while we've been playing this game, and that's kind of a cool thing because he's not in that whole, what do you call it?
He didn't stay an eternal child. He grew and developed.
It's not that weird childhood stasis thing that sometimes happens with, oh, I don't know, TV shows and things like that.
Or TV shows, they often do the baby born, next week kid is five, next week after that kid is now an adult.
One way or the other, I've seen like soap operas and stuff like that where they had a kid that was a baby for like well over a year. And it's just because, well, the story is not happening on the same timeline or whatever, or this child is just weird and caught in a time vortex. Who knew? So it was kind of interesting to watch Anduin grow up over the last several years, and it's cool seeing him be king. I'm interested in seeing what his story is going to be all about once he shows up in Heroes of the Storm. Did they have an official trailer for him? I didn't see one.
I know they had like skins and so forth. I don't know if they actually put up an official story trailer for him yet.
Okay.
I didn't see one, but I was admittedly not
they
looking because I was like
for every character, so I'm expecting to see one at some point.
Usually, don't they usually do the one that's like they either tie in the story one or they do one that's just a, hey, this is Anduin Wren, and these are his abilities and so forth. I don't.
They usually do one each.
So yeah, we'll see. I definitely am interested in seeing, if nothing else, they have to have some good voice line interaction. Like when Sylvanas is there, he should say mean things to her and so
him
forth.
And Sylvanas, when his father's him and there. Jaina, him and Varian. Yeah.
Him and Gen.
And Gen. Oh, yeah, that's right. Gen's in there, too. Oh, this is going to be really interesting. Anyway, so, yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. And I'm interested in seeing how he plays and how he fits into the whole thing. I still enjoy watching Heroes of the Storm when people are playing it. But, yeah.
Honestly, if there'd be one thing I could bring back, it would be Heroes of the Storm. I think Annabelle said the other day, she absolutely made a good point that it was a brilliant piece of esports.
Yeah.
Like it did a really good job of setting up players and getting people interested in watching it. And I do think it was a mistake. Not a mistake, but it's unfortunate that they did away with it. I understand what happened and why, but nevertheless, I wish it was still back.
Yeah.
I would like to see that
same.
Back.
I mean, my dad didn't really get esports until we saw Heroes of the Storm on TV one night, and he was a little bit befuddled at first, but then he started asking me about what was going on, and when the next year came around, he asked me, hey, is that thing going to be on TV again? Because he remembered it. And when I explained to him that, like, the winning team, they got, like, college scholarships and stuff like that, he was like, wow, that's really neat, you know?
Yeah, it was a really good thing, I think.
He's an old man, or he was an old man, so it wasn't like this was something that was in his wheelhouse or that he had any experience with at all, but he thought it was interesting.
Yeah,
and I miss it. Anyway, we should probably move on.
Yeah, probably. Next story is actually something that I myself kind of thought. There were a lot of rumors that there was going to be a WoW Classic beta soon. Files were being pushed to the test servers. People were seeing stuff going on.
Yeah, that was the thing. Is like people's BattleNet thing was downloading stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, and yeah. People were like, they're gonna do a beta soon. And unfortunately, that's not exactly what's happening. What's happening is that right now, WoW Classic is being tested internally as an employee, basically before the friends and family. You have an employee alpha. It's just employees playing the game, but it's like people who aren't on the team developing it. It's, you know, people who are just work at Blizzard are basically playing the game right now. This is like the very first stage of testing. That's not surprising that they're doing that, but it is a little surprising that they pushed that data out to all people's, battle.net, possibly in preparation for the next stage of testing. But that stage of testing is not now. That is not happening.
I was
going
to say, it's
it.
Probably so that they can just kind of flip the switch to open it up to people.
Exactly.
If they get it to a point where they feel like that's good.
See, the thing is that one of the weird things about WoW Classic is that it's been announced as a summer of 2019 game. That means until September 21st.
Yeah.
And
when they say summer, they mean very literally. Yeah. And sometimes they will push it to the last second. You know what would be cool is if it came out on my birthday. I'd be happy about that because my birthday's on the 19th. So it's like a couple days before.
I got a WoW expansion on my birthday once, and it wasn't as good as I thought because it was Cataclysm, and nobody ever liked Cataclysm, unfortunately. I liked Cataclysm, but
I was going to say, Cataclysm had its good and bad, but I thought it was overall a pretty decent expansion.
We were raiding pretty seriously.
I think that's why I thought it was a decent expansion, is because we were raiding and it was fun.
But I was having a good time as much as someone can when they suddenly become a tank in the middle of the last raid.
Thing is like there was the whole legendary quest line with Rathion, and I played a rogue, so I got to participate in that, and that was super fun. And then there was what else? There was that. There was
Transmog.
Transmog came out.
Raid Finder came out at the very
just
end.
Just completely. Yeah, the Raid Finder thing wasn't so much, but Transmog was like a big, big deal. And I thought that was like the coolest thing ever, along with everybody else who wanted to play dress up with their characters. And then I loved the dungeons at the last part of the expansion. So like End Time and War of the Ancients and all that, the Caverns of Time stuff. I loved that. They were all good.
I definitely agree they were good. The raids, I thought
I take
were
that
good
back.
Too.
They were all good, except that the one with Thrall in Dragonblight was really frustrating.
Just because Thrall was yet again terrible to escort.
Thrall was always a bad escort.
He's not the worst. A good escort quest. I gotta put the word quest in, or saying Thrall is always a bad escort sounds really weird. So you need the word quest at the end.
It's going to be an annoying time when you have to lead Thrall around anywhere. Anyway,
back to the WoW Classic and Alpha.
Yeah.
Basically, what we now know is that it's being tested internally. Since they've said summer of 2019, then that gives them till September 21st. My thinking is that we're going to hear something at E3, something to the effect of, okay, WoW Classic is going to be out. Here's the release date. Here's the beta. That's what I think is going to happen at E3. If it doesn't happen at E3, the next really big time is going to be Gamescom, and Gamescom's in August, and I think that's too late.
Yeah, when is E3 this year?
June.
June. Okay.
I can't remember exact date. I know it's in June because I just wrote about it.
It's usually the middle of the month, end of the month.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think
okay.
It's like June 12th or something.
Okay.
But I think that's where I'm going with this right now. That's where I think we're going to hear an announcement.
You think they're going to do something at E3? Blizzard doesn't... They like rarely do anything at E3.
Very rarely. Very rarely. But
like the last thing I remember them doing at E3 was they had like during the off hours, they had like a little mini panel where they were talking about Heroes of the Storm stuff.
It's just because of the timing.
Yeah,
because if they're still going for summer of 2019, I feel like E3 is the best time.
It is, yeah. That would be a very good place to do that. And the thing is, yes, they're doing the internal alpha, but I can't really see where it would take too much testing because this is a game that already existed. They have like all of it, and people want it just like it was back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's basically this isn't testing storylines or anything.
No, it's
this
just testing implementation
fun.
Of stuff that, like, logging in through Battle.net, that
up.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly one of the things they mentioned in the post. Bornak mentioned that they're trying to make it integrated with Battle.net, and that's one of the things they're testing. And the other thing that they're testing is basically just... Keep in mind they imported the old game into the new engine.
Yeah. And
so there are some bugs and things to smooth out.
Yeah, they mentioned that there was a panel at BlizzCon last year. It was actually a pretty good panel where they were talking about the development of Classic. And, oh my gosh, I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry if you're listening. Anyway, the guy that was doing the panel, he was talking about how there were certain things that didn't quite look right because they changed how lighting worked at one point. They changed how, like, various models showed up at one point, and so like models that weren't actually there, they were there but they were like a different color or something. Like there was just a lot of stuff that was going on, so, and it was just parts where the old game overlapped with the new code and there was nothing there to support it, so they had to mess with it, which is fine. I mean, that's cool, but they don't really have to do a lot of bug fixes or anything like that because people want it to be like it was back then. That's all.
I'm just going to tell you the people that we did the talk. Ian Hazacostas hosted it. It was Omar Gonzalez, who's a senior software engineer, and lead engineer Brian Birmingham were the two guys who did most of the talking in that.
Yeah. Panel. Yeah. I think it was Brian that was talking about that. No.
Yeah, because he was the one I think he was talking mostly about.
He was talking about the errors that popped up and things like that. Omar was talking about what they had to go through to get the code and how they were making it work.
And one thing that Omar talked about that I'm going to mention is that Omar has been working on World of Warcraft since 2003.
Yeah.
So
he's super
this is
familiar.
Gonna be the weirdest,
this is like
yeah.
weird, but
this
he's...
is the weirdest trip to him. Yeah.
Anyway, I expect that they're probably going to do that whole internal alpha thing, and I don't think that internal alpha is going to last too long before they open it up to beta, because
I expect friends and family by May. Easily.
Right. They gave us all that code. They like we downloaded it on our launchers. So, I think it's just a matter of them deciding when it's okay to flip the switch.
Yeah.
And they're still
likely.
Doing like minor corrections and that kind of thing, and I'm sure when they do friends and family, that's going to be another round of is everything working okay, and then they'll flip it open to beta. I don't know. I think that the game, they're probably going to come out with the game like in July, but I could be wrong.
Well, definitely that seems like a possibility. It depends entirely on how well the implementation of the Battle.net stuff goes, but yeah.
Yeah.
I'm cautiously optimistic we'll get some kind of announcement next month, but I'm aiming for it. Right now, my target is around E3, which is June.
I think probably a good hunch, honestly.
We should probably talk now about the actual game that we're currently playing.
Yes.
We've talked about Heroes and Overwatch, but WoW had a couple of things happen. The first one was that they made an announcement that, you know, with the launch of Crucible of Storms, which is now live as we're recording this, it went the Raid Finder and the Mythic went live yesterday.
Yeah.
And so if you're listening to this recording after we've made it, you're in Friday of the week that happened. One of the things they did was raise the possible eye level for world quests and other rewards.
Yeah.
So, if you're getting a world quest drop, they can now go up to, I believe, 395?
Something like that.
And emissary stuff can go up to, no, it's 385 for world quest gear, 395 for emissary stuff, 400 for Azerite pieces, like, you know, helmet, chest, shoulders. And there's also, like, there's some other stuff, like if you get the special... The invasion gear, like the gear, the quests when you do an invasion.
Yeah.
Not an invasion. What are they called? Incursions? I forget what they're called, but it's just the invasions again. When you do one of those, that gear can also go up to like 395, 400.
Yeah.
And I did a post about it for the site because there's been some upset about it that it supposedly invalidates raid gear. And I don't think it does for a couple of reasons. First of which we're going to get another raid. That's going to happen. There's like no way around it.
You timed out and, in game, by the way.
Yeah, I'm. I just saw that and jumped in.
Okay.
Can you still hear me? Because
I usually
jump. Oh, thank God. Usually when I jump in like that, you can't hear me.
No, you're good. Anyway.
But they're going to have a new raid fairly soon.
New raid and new zones. Like two new zones and a new mega dungeon. Yeah. All of that stuff involves new gear.
And the reason that they did this, they said, was to make it easier for people to get geared up to run Raid Finder.
Yeah.
Which... I understand that 350, which is the Raid Finder limit, is way below the top level you can get gear on. But one of the reasons I think this is a good change is because it will make it last well into the next tier. When 8.2 comes out, the World Quest gear will still be decent for a while.
Yeah.
And that's good, in my opinion. It helps people catch up. I'm one of those people I look back at the way it was in the Burning Crusade when I was grinding heroics constantly for badges. Constantly running them when they put them in, they put badges in raids, like, so you could then get more of them from those. And you were constantly just grinding them to get badges to buy gear because pants wouldn't drop for you. I remember being a tank.
I had to. Burning Crusade was when I started raiding with my rogue, and it was when it was just after Black Temple was released, like right after it came out, like the week after it came out or something. So the guild that I joined was still doing, oh my gosh, I can't remember the name, the Archimond.
Abyss Keep? Oh, okay.
Archimond.
So they were still doing Archimond, all right.
Yeah, they were doing that. Tempest Keep had already been cleared out. Same thing with Serpent Shrine. I didn't experience those because they had already cleared them out and everything, and they didn't want to go back to them. But what they were doing was they were doing the Archimond stuff, and then they were also, you know, stepping foot into Black Temple. And I had to get my gear good enough that I could go to those places and not die immediately. So what I ended up doing was PvP, and I got, like, the full gladiator set, and it was just as good as the raid gear.
Yeah, and that was back when resilience was just introduced, and it was still useful as a raid stat because it reduced damage you took from everything.
Yeah, and I mean, like, the weapons from PvP were also, they were kind of, like, on par with the stuff that you could get. So my DPS was great, and I knew what I was doing. I knew how to kick things. I knew how to stab things and not die, and that was all they really needed from me. So it took a while before I got the raid gear, but the PvP stuff was enough of, a buffer.
The PvP
worked.
Stuff was, I remember doing that when we went into Karazhan, mm-hmm. because I was playing Horde at that time.
Yeah.
And my Tauren got, like, I got gear from PvP before I ever stepped foot into Karazhan. And the PvP gear was just, the only thing that was an upgrade for me was Gorehowl.
Yeah.
That was the only upgrade. Everything else was, and that was, let's be honest, I wanted that mostly for looks, even back then. But yeah, my Tauren was fully kitted out in PvP gear. I was tanking in it because resilience was almost as good as defense for a tanking stat.
So there were alternates even way back then.
Yeah, and the badge gear, I mean, people were like, you were talking about getting geared up for like Archimonde and Black Temple. I knew a lot of people like who right after like Black Temple was kind of getting to the point where it was on farm and Sunwell was coming out. The Island Quel'Danas stuff, people were like, they worked really hard to get that thing flipped as quick as possible. So Alliance and Horde both worked on it.
Yeah, so that they could get the badge gear.
The badge gear
was on par with anything that dropped in Black Temple.
Unless you had the Warglaives, the fist weapons from the badge vendor in the Isle of Quel'Danas were the best DPS weapons.
They were so good.
I think maybe for rogues, the dagger that Illidan dropped that wasn't the Warglaives was also just slightly better than those fist weapons.
Oh, yeah.
Just because there's some daggers, some rogues have always needed daggers
the
for specific attacks.
The Consolation Prize of Azeroth or whatever it was called. I don't know.
Yeah,
we got so many of those. It was like the green dagger that looked like a mini version of the glaives. And it was like, here, we're not going to give you the cool legendary, but have this Consolation Prize just to keep, you know, tied you over. It wasn't that great. It was okay, but it wasn't that great. The fist weapons were way better. Yeah.
Fist weapons were better, but it's like rogues and some rogues needed daggers.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's some like,
I was playing combat at that point. So
yeah, the fist weapons were like, yeah, go give me those stained glass fist weapons.
I think I was using from ZA.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
They had the really nice
ZA was fantastic, including like the plate
swords,
chicken hat.
Yeah. Oh,
Our warrior had the weirdest getup because he had chicken hat and then like other pieces from other sets. And it was
when I first got hired to write about World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
I was tanking in that hat. I got that hat while I was working that job because I had switched back to Alliance to tank for some friends and we ended up being in a guild. And there's so many pictures of me in that hat. Just standing there with that hat on because I didn't turn my hat off for anything. Oh, it was a warrior.
Yeah, I know, but what was it?
It was a human.
Okay.
Just a boring old human warrior because he was my first character ever.
Our main tank was a Forsaken, and that chicken hat looked really funny. It was just ridiculous.
It didn't look any better on a human. I'll be upfront with you.
Chicken hat on a walking skeleton was just hysterical.
That thing perched on top of my head, and it looked goofy. But yeah.
So the point of all of this talking
is that they've always had those things.
They've always come out with stuff that was kind of equivalent, so that people could get caught up. This is nothing new. There are people that are upset about this, I guess, for some reason, and I don't understand why. Like, I think it's
the same reason people are always upset about it, because they always say, "Oh, but this invalidates all that raid gear I spent all that time earning." And the thing is, like, dude. The new raid invalidated all that raid gear you spent all that time earning.
Yeah.
That's what they do. That's what raids do.
Time marches on.
And in the meantime, your raid gear is still better itemized than World Quest gear for most cases.
Yeah.
All
this does is, like, with the World Quest gear and stuff like that, that's primarily how I've geared up, is through World Quests. And I want to say my eye level is, like, 390 or something, or 395, somewhere in there. I'm close to 400, and that's just from World Quest and Emissary gear and that kind of thing, because I've been quietly working on it behind the scenes and dinking around. I don't have a raid guild. I'm not raiding with anybody. I could be, but I'm not. I just don't see the issue with it. Even World Quest rewards going up to 370, it doesn't really matter. That's not an upgrade for me as it stands.
Yeah, and the only thing you can get is occasionally it will Titan Forge, and then you get like a really cool, like I got a ring of four, like I think my ring is 420.
Yeah.
Because I got a Titan Forge that popped all the way up.
I do appreciate the invasion stuff going up to 395, because that's helpful.
Yeah, because it means that when you see an invasion, you can go, oh, it might still have an upgrade for me, and so you'll go.
Right.
It just makes it more interesting.
Right now, I'm not really doing invasions because all of my gear is high enough. Well, I wasn't really doing invasions. I might go look for them now because they'll actually do something for me. And I think that's the other thing that they were kind of working for, is that they didn't want these quests and things to become obsolete.
Yeah, because we're going to see, as soon as 8.2 drops, stuff's going to start dropping from that raid that's going to be higher than what we currently have.
Well, and I mean,
keep in mind, Crucible of Storms is an N-tier raid.
I'm assuming,
you know, this.
Yeah, I'm assuming that like Nazjatar and Mechagon are also going to have world quests, and those world quests will have better rewards than Kul Tiras and Zandalar, because we're going to like a brand new zone. So I expect that there's going to be a little bump there too, but we need to kind of get ready to do all of that stuff. So yeah, I don't see a problem with them bumping it up. I mean, no. If you're raiding and you have a bunch of raid gear, none of this stuff is better than your raid gear. Your raid gear is still great.
Yeah, it's not like they didn't nerf you, and your raid gear is still going to have better trinkets, better rings, better itemization in general. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, what else? Okay, there's one more thing we should probably talk about, and I'm probably blanking on what it was.
Oh, battle pets.
Oh, battle pets.
So many battle pets are coming. I'm so excited about this. Okay, so there is an achievement out there to collect like 1,000 battle pets, 1,000 unique battle pets. And it's currently unobtainable. You can't get it. There's not enough pets out there in the world for you to hit that, really. I don't know. I don't think there's 1,000 out there right now. Anyway, so Nazjatar and Mechagon are introducing a ton of different battle pets. Nazjatar in particular has, there's so many of them. There's a couple of octopuses, there's 5 slugs, there's 3 elementals that you can pick up, there's some murlocs that you can pick up, which I'm really excited about because I do like the murlocs. The other thing I'm really excited about is there's like 4 or 5 different little mammal dudes that use the model of, they look like a mini capybara, if you've ever seen those.
Yeah, I they know what they are. Yep.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Anyway, yeah, okay, so BMI in the chat channel is saying that they have it. They have the 1,000. Yep, okay, it is definitely possible right now, but I think right now, in order to do it, you have to have like all of the pets that you can get from all of the stuff that's going on in Legion, where everybody, like different classes had different class pets available, and then, you know, all of the pets that you can buy and that kind of thing. Like, you really have to clear things out to get it. What this is going to do is it's going to kind of make it easier for people that maybe didn't collect all of those unique things. But like, I'm really kind of excited about this because I'm close, but I'm not like there quite yet. So this has about 1 billion different pets that are coming out. And yeah, the capybara I'm really excited about because it's so cute. It is so cute. And then
I'm just hoping they make it so that other battle pets can climb up on the capybara battle pet's back and ride around on it the way that this actually happens with capybaras.
I don't think that's like, going to happen.
they need to put that in because that's something that capybaras actually do, and it is one of my favorite things.
There are also 2 others that are coming out that are baby Naga.
And yeah, the baby Naga is adorable, by the way.
They are so cute. And I mean, that's not surprising because the thing is like, they usually come out with the cutest models for these things, and they are not disappointing this time around. So that's all on Nazjatar. It's all pretty much like elementals, underwater things, that kind of thing. And then Mechagon also has a variety of pets that are coming out. But of course, because it's Mechagon, they're all mechanical pets. They all look like robots. So
robots.
There's a couple of robot chickens. There's some little bots. There's some marmots, like robot marmots. I think there's a bunch of different frogs, robot frogs that are there. And then the cool part is there are 4 pets that you know the crawling claw thing that you could get from doing archaeology in...
Yeah, the hand.
Yeah, the hand. Okay, so there's 4 of those hand pets that are coming out, but they're robot hands. And they're just as unsettling. Maybe a little more so.
It's not better. It's not better.
It's just as weird. But yeah, those are coming out on Mechagon. So there's a bunch of pets that you can get from all over the place. There are some pets that are named as opposed to just having like... They actually have like a name, which implies that either it's going to be like a rare capture or maybe a drop from something. Don't know. Don't know yet. I still need to go check out the PTR, and I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that later because I'm really curious about what's going on out there. Anyway, yeah, so that's a thing that's coming in 8.2. They're also going to have a new Battle Pet dungeon. We've mentioned that before. Strathholm will be the new Battle Pet dungeon. And there's some things in there that you can get as well. There's an Adventurous Hopling, Drowned Hatchling, and a Ghostly Whelpling, which I absolutely need immediately. There's also some other stuff that's been data mined. There was a young Twilight Scale that begins a quest, and it's these packs of Twilight Whelplings that are hanging out in front of Grim Batal. So nobody really knows what's up with that. But the thing is the Twilight Dragonflight, that was something that Deathwing engineered. And we saw that in Cataclysm. We saw that with Sinestra. Was it Sinestra?
Yeah.
Yeah, under Cho'Gall. We saw all of that happening, what was going on with that out there. So I'm kind of curious if this means that we're going to get more Rathion stuff, because he's the only black dragon of note that's still around right now. And the quest hint that you got from doing island expeditions, it sends you to Blackwing Lair. And Blackwing Lair is where they were doing experiments to create the chromatic dragonflight. So I'm kind of curious if Rathion is messing with creation like Neltharion did, and like Deathwing did, and like Sinestra. I don't know. But yeah, so that's all stuff that's coming in 8.2. I'm very excited. I know you're not big on battle pets or anything like that, but...
No, but I've said before, and I'll say it again, I think battle pets are the best system because I don't have to care about it, and other people can. No, I mean this. I think it's great when WoW adds in stuff that is... If you want it, it's there and it's great for you. And if you don't want it, you don't ever have to touch it and you're fine without it.
It's the same thing with Transmog. You don't have to mess with Transmog if you don't want to, but it's there.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah. That's exactly how I feel. But we're getting kind of short on time, and we should probably do at least a couple emails.
Oh, shoot.
We should at least try for one.
Yeah.
If you have an email for the show, please send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch so we know it's for this show. Anne usually reads them for us, and that's going to be the case now, I hope, because I didn't get ready to do so. So if you don't mind, Anne.
Yes, I am going to do that. And I think I'm going to jump to the last one on the list here because it's actually kind of interesting. This one is from Thyro Corey, or them Sea Freak on Discord, who says, I've finally been finishing up Chronicles, and I just realized the Dark Portal opened some 30-ish years ago the first time, right? It was 33 years, I think. Now could be 34, but somewhere in there. Anyway, you're close. And he says, and since that happened, Azeroth has seen the first invasion / war, the second war, the third war, the Scourge and the Lich King, a cataclysm, Garrosh, time traveling, and another Legion invasion. During the third war, Jaina and Thrall both sailed to Kalimdor, which seems to imply that Kalimdor was unknown country. Did the peoples of the Eastern Kingdoms just have no idea that there were Night Elves in Torin and Kalimdor? Bonus question. Also, why has so much happened in Azeroth in 30 years? To answer the first one really quick here. No, Torin and Night Elves were unknown. Nobody knew about them. When you play through Warcraft 3 and you go to Kalimdor, you actually meet the Night Elves for the first time. And you meet the Torin for the first time. You've never seen them before. Kalimdor is known as far as there's a continent out there somewhere, but people haven't really explored it that much from the Eastern Kingdoms because there was no reason to.
The average farmer in Elwyn would have had literally absolutely no idea Kalimdor existed. Someone like Medivh would have had a library that mentioned it. Yeah, it mentioned that it existed because that's where the elves came from. He knew very vaguely about the Cataclysm.
Yeah, I'm sure that he even had like books about Night Elves and things like that. Like,
yeah, because he had a book about a loon for
the Karazhan library is super weird. So, you know,
but like the Karantor would have known some of it because it would have been passed down from the elves that were part of it. The elves knew that they came from there, and they knew about the big war that happened.
Yeah.
The High Elves knew about it, but it was not something they talked about a lot. The trolls obviously remembered it. And humans, like some human tribes, my humans were utter barbarians back then. They were like Vrykul who were turning into humans. They had an idea that they came from somewhere else before the big disaster happened, but it was all very vague because they went through a period of complete, you know, chaotic barbarism. And the dwarves, a lot of them didn't wake up until after it had all happened. They were like underground.
The gnomes. The gnomes kind of lost all of that history.
So it's not something the average citizen of the Eastern Kingdoms would have known much about. I assume that when the Third War was over and Stormwind was trying to figure out what had just happened, then when, you know, Jaina Proudmoore contacted them and said, oh, and by the way, these are these new 7-foot tall elves we met, that it was probably like, what?
Yeah, we should probably form an alliance with those guys, you know. And it was, they had like a few years of relative peace after the Third War.
Yeah, like 4 to 5 years before everything started nuts
like,
again.
Once everything settled down in Theramore, and this was after Jaina killed her dad, stood aside and let other people kill her dad. Anyway, after all of that, it kind of quieted down for a while, and Jaina and Thrall were really actively working on some kind of alliance or peace treaty between the two factions, and the Night Elves were okay with, you know, everybody was kind of okay with each other, and then the tension started swirling around again, and we saw them kind of erupt a little bit when World of Warcraft first came out. So, yeah, they didn't know. Most people just didn't know that there was anything over there on Kalimdor that was noteworthy.
Yeah, it was definitely along the lines of if you were a member of a secret wizard order or whatever, maybe you'd heard of that stuff. But the rank and file people, absolutely no idea. Torin, like, and this goes for the Horde too. Like, orcs didn't know much of anything about this world because they had invaded it. And even like the trolls that they met were the Darkspear trolls. Darkspear trolls were like over in Gurubashi. They were in Stranglethorn. So they didn't, like, when they met the Tauren, that would have been a surprise for them. Like, who are these giant cow people?
And the trolls were very much a different kind of thing because they were out on Darkspear Isle at that point in time.
Yeah, and they were very much isolated.
Yeah, and the main reason they kind of ended up helping each other was because Senjin had seen, like, a vision of what was going on and a vision of Thrall. And that kind of thing, and talk to Thrall about it, and Thrall agreed to help them out because they were having issues, and then they ended up having more issues, and then the humans showed up, and it was even worse. and eventually there came a point where after Senjin died, Thrall said, "Hey, do you guys want to join this new horde that I'm making?" And they said, "Yeah, sure." So the original Horde had kind of an alliance very briefly with the trolls up in Zul'aman, in that area. And they kind of split after, was it after the Second War? I think it was after the Second War.
Yeah.
Really.
Basically, what happened in the Second War was that, bloody heck, I can't remember his name now.
Zul'jin?
Zul'jin, thank you. Zul'jin and his Amani trolls had an alliance with Doomhammer's Horde.
Yeah.
And it didn't last past the Second War because Doomhammer was gone. The orcs were gone as a political entity for like
the orcs
15 years.
Got defeated.
Yeah,
so
Zul'jin was basically just trying to defend his land that he had managed to like take back from the High Elves, and he couldn't push any further. He couldn't do anything else. That's why you see him when he does come back. It's with a new, like, they've come up with a new weapon that they're using. They've weaponized their Loa.
When he came back in ZA, actually, that was part of the reason the ZA trailer was so effective, was it was Zul'jin talking about how he had worked with the Horde before, and the Horde now decided to ally with those same elves that they were fighting against originally. So
that cut out his eye.
Yeah, the ones that cut out his eye and got rid of his arm. Well, he got rid of his own arm, but still.
He cut off his arm to escape.
Yeah, that's why he was so angry, was because we had pretty much, well, the Horde had pretty much betrayed him in his eyes.
In terms of why, I mean, we could go on and on about this all day.
Yeah, let's go to the second part of that question, though. Also, why has so much happened in Azeroth in 30 years?
I think it's partially because it's wrong to think about any of that stuff as starting and stopping. you should think about it as a continuing process. It's not that a lot of stuff has happened. It's a lot of stuff has continued to happen. Yeah, there have been little periods of like, okay, we stop the Legion after the end of the Third War. We get a 4-year break before stuff gets weird again. But a lot of that stuff is still going on. It's changed the world forever. The orcs stepping through the dark portal at the beginning of the First War.
That was
changed
the catalyst for everything, really.
And everything has been different since that happened because you just included a whole new people who are completely alien to this world and they have to figure out their place in it. And whether or not you like or hate what the Horde has done, you can't change the fact that it completely altered the game forever. It marked a shift, and the Legion basically never stopped from like 10,000 years ago on. They never stopped trying to get back to Azeroth. And this was the opening of their big new gambit. All three of those wars, the current Legion invasion we just got done with, all of that was still part of the Legion's game plan for Azeroth. And it didn't end until the end of Legion. And even then, we don't know how long-lasting that solution is going to be. We don't know how long the Titans and Illidan can keep Sargeras penned up. Right now, the Legion is leaderless.
Sargeras is basically in the Pantheon Punch Zone with, like, or Punch Dome with Illidan, which is fine. But how long are they going to be able to keep him restrained there? Will they be able to keep him restrained there? What are they going to do with him? Are they going to try and rehabilitate him? Or
is it just we lock ourselves away forever to lock him away forever? And what happens if they can't do it? Like, they didn't hold him the last time. Like, Sargeras, this is a situation where Sargeras is the only one who didn't, like, he killed them when they fought the last time. So, I don't know. We have no idea. If you think of it all from that moment up until the end of Legion, it's one continuous 35-year thing. It's not it never stopped. That's the thing, is it's never
actually changed.
The Legion
basically showed up during the War of the Ancients and tried to make things work in their favor, and we did a really good job of kicking them out. And ever since then, they have been trying to get back. When the orcs came through the dark portal, that was step one of their invasion plan. They were the ones that sent the orcs through. They were the ones that had corrupted the orcs. Everything that's happened since then has been fallout from that moment. Mm-hmm. And if you want to think of the orcs as like pieces on a chessboard, they were initially, and then at some point they realized they weren't and had to establish their own way. And
imagine the orcs as like a monopoly piece that suddenly went, no, I'm not listening to you anymore, and completely flip the banker over and change the rules of the game. But the game is still continuing, and it continued right up until Legion. And of course, all the other
orcs kind of getting retribution for that corruption that they'd endured in the first place.
At least they got to finally say, we are not yours anymore.
Yeah.
And finally got to make it stick. But with the end of Legion, what we saw, the two, is that because the Legion came, and because the orcs were here, and because things were different now, other powers stepped up to take advantage of the situation, like the old gods. And now that the Legion's theoretically out of the picture, those guys are getting to step up and take, they now get to run with the momentum they've built up while we were busy. And so that's what we're going to see going forward. I think that's one of the reasons the Dragonflights don't seem to be as out of it as we thought they were. We keep seeing new stuff involving dragons because the dragons are now in a position where they don't have the Legion to worry about, and the old gods are so much more present.
Well, and I mean, they were dealing with the old gods to begin with. Like, they were trying to prevent the Hour of Twilight. That was their big purpose or whatever. And they did that in Cataclysm with our help, but it hasn't stopped anything. The Hour of Twilight was stalled out. That was great, but now it seems like something worse is on the horizon. So I fully expect that if things get bad enough, they will step in again, not because it's their duty or anything, but because they want to. That's why Tyr made the aspects in the first place, because the proto-dragons that eventually became Ysera and all of the aspects, Alexstrasza, even Neltharion and Malagos. What was the other one? Nozdormu.
Nazi.
Yeah. There's a really good novella out there by Richard Knack called Dawn of the Aspects that talks about how they were created and where they came from. And it kind of goes into the whole backstory of the Dragonflights and how the aspects were initially created. What was the real story there? the whole reason that Tyr decided to make them Guardians of Azeroth is because they had already proven that they had a vested interest in protecting the planet. And I don't think that's gone away. I think maybe their powers have diminished or whatever, but I think they still have a vested interest in making sure the world is okay.
Yep.
So, yeah.
Maybe we'll see a soft retcon to that whole idea that they can't have kids anymore.
And it does feel
which
like...
Which I don't like.
It does feel like a lot has happened in 30 years, because that's a pretty short piece of history for all of these different wars and the Legion invasion and everything else, and it seems like nobody has been able to, like, breathe for longer than maybe a couple of weeks before something else terrible is on the horizon. But it was all kind of impetus from the Burning Legion.
Yeah, to use a real-world example, if you look at the period of time between 1900 and 1950...
There's a lot.
A lot of stuff happened.
A lot. You know? So much.
But that's the way... That's the way everything
that's
is. If you look at the period of time, the past 30 years of just our lives right now, a lot has happened. That's, if you think of it as all happening from one prior source, if you think of it as all events following, it's still a lot, but you can see how it works.
Even from a technology standpoint, if you look at where we were 30 years ago, what was that, 1999?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't make me remember that.
If you go back 30 years ago, though, what we had in 99 pales in comparison to the technology that we have today. Things move at a pretty fast pace. So, yeah, I think that was just a lot of it. It was just, you know, the Burning Legion kind of kicking things into high gear, as it were.
Also, it was 1989, because 1999 is only 20 years ago. You made me feel so old for a second there.
Okay, 89. Well, then, yeah, things have soup. Like, we have the internet now. 89, yeah. It wasn't really like a thing.
No more of that squealing noise when you try to make a call.
Dial-up.
Yeah, but yeah, it's probably, we've probably done as much as we can for the emails, because we're way over. And
it's okay. We'll carry those over to next week. Sorry, guys.
There's a lot to talk about this week. Sorry. Okay, though, if you have an email for the show, please do send it to podcast@blizzardwatch.com with the subject line podcast or Blizzard Watch. And it doesn't have to be about World of Warcraft, by the way. It can be about any of Blizzard's games. You have a question about Heroes of the Storm or Overwatch or Hearthstone.
That new workshop mode that looks pretty exciting, yeah. That kind of thing. Yeah.
We will absolutely love to talk about those things. So, you know, feel free to shoot us an email on any of the subjects.
Okay. Blizzard Watch. Hey, it's made possible due to the generous contributions at patreon.com/blizzardwatch, and your continued support means that this podcast site and community is able to thrive and grow. Blizzard Watch supporters enjoy exclusive benefits like early access to the podcast, a better chance at having your questions answered on our podcast or the queue, and an ads-free site experience.
Thank you, Anne. Guys, this has been the Blizzard Watch podcast. I'm Matt. That was Anne. Thank you guys so much for being here with us, and we'll be here next week.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.